AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I'm going to be taking off tomorrow, but usually on Thursdays, I get the privilege of talking to Bring Me the News's Sven Sundgaard, the weatherman extraordinaire, who is kind enough to join us actually today to talk about a little bit of the weather that's been going on. Hey, Sven.
Hi, yes, on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
It felt like Thursday to me since yesterday, so it's that kind of a week. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad we're not talking to you tomorrow, because I think tomorrow there are going to be some nasty looks on when the temperatures, people go outside and see how cool it is, they're not going to have a happy face on.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people are liking the cool weather, though. It's amazing to me how many people were complaining about our heat and humidity. I don't know.
Well, we didn't.
Weather's something everyone has an opinion on.
We had what I cannot remember ever seeing the winds coming off of Superior in that such a direction that it was wild watching Lake Superior slowly cool down the entire state, basically. It kept moving in further and further south. That was amazing. It doesn't usually go that deep inland, does it?
No, it's pretty rare. It does happen, I'd say, maybe once a year on average, or maybe every other year. It is, so it's definitely rare. But if you live up along the North Shore, it's spring all the time.
Yeah.
It was fascinating to me for the short time I lived in Duluth, a couple of years, just the dynamics of the lake and how you could go from, you know, a south wind or a southwest wind, and you'd be this time of year, especially when you see the most dramatic changes, because the air is warmed up around the region. But that lake has made very little progress. It finally reaches this sort of tipping point by right around Grandma's Marathon. It must have been why they chose that weekend, because right about then, the lake finally absorbs enough heat where the cooler air is only in the 50s or 60s instead of 30s, which is what it was. So Duluth hit 80 on Saturday, and then that lake air moved in, and they were 37 degrees through much of the day on Sunday, and that air just kept pushing south. And I did explain it in my weather on Monday. It was just a perfect setup where this pretty typically happens where high pressure kind of sits over southern Hudson Bay or somewhere there in Ontario. And whenever you get an easterly, east to west component to the pressure gradient across Lake Superior, basically if the air is in any way has a westward momentum, that's enough to turn the lake breeze on. So you can have a south wind, but if it's not very strong and if the pressure is higher to the east and lower to the west, that's enough to just turn the lake breeze on. And you'll get a wind direction that defies the region just along Lake Superior. So it basically acted like a wind tunnel. The air over Lake Superior was sitting in the 30s. The air coming from that high over the southern tip of Hudson Bay, that, you know, sort of finger that comes down, was also in the 30s. And they just kind of, once they met up, it was like a wind tunnel. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what happened. And you can kind of see on the topographical maps there in northeastern Minnesota why that sort of basin fills in normally with cool air. It gets about to Moose Lake sometimes, you know, but it rarely gets past Carlton County and never gets past the topography usually along the North Shore. Those are like, you know, mini mountains. Mm-hmm. But this was enough to spill over that and then keep going down 35. And you could watch it through the day. It slowed down Sunday, but there is a big difference between the North and South Metro. The northern suburbs were in the 50s. Well, the airport topped out at 81, squeezed out an 81-degree high by noon, but by 6 p.m. it was 68 and remarkably lower humidity.
And by the way, you should follow Sven on Twitter as well, because you were tracking that through the day, and it was remarkable. I went out to barbecue that night, and I'm like, it is cool. And I said, this is that Lake Superior
chilly
stuff. Yeah, it was remarkable considering how nice it was early in the day. That change, and yeah, if you know, it's considering how we're nowhere close, I would have never guessed it was Lake Superior.
Yeah, no, and it had migrated back north already Sunday night here, at least. But they're not as lucky usually in Duluth. It can often take some real shift in the atmosphere's momentum to push that lake air back out. You can imagine once it's going and flowing, it's going to take a force. It's not just going to stop all of a sudden.
You are very knowledgeable about a lot of nature and stuff. I was reading a story here about the rise of ticks, and that with the climate change and the way things have been going, Yeah, lucky us. The ticks are coming back. And as a matter of fact, actually, there was a case, I think it was in Bring Me the News. They had a story of the kid out in Buffalo, a young child. I think he got Rocky Mountain spotted fever from the tick bites, which is very serious. And, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things you and I have talked about before is that you start changing things, things start changing in badly. You know, a lot of people say, okay, so there's a few extra ticks, but with a lot of these ticks comes diseases, mosquitoes come diseases.
Yes.
You got to be very careful about that stuff.
Yeah, and even if they don't carry diseases, one of the things that I like to highlight when I give climate talks is, you know, the polar bear is kind of the global ambassador of climate change. And Minnesota, we really can look to the moose as sort of our polar bear. The species that's on the brink, it lives in a place that's tough already. And it's the southern range of where they can really basically barely make it. You know, they're much more comfortable in Alaska or northern Manitoba than they are in northeastern Minnesota, because this is really the periphery of, you know, you get any further south of Duluth, it's too warm, period. But they get these things called winter ticks, it's ticks that stay on them in the winter. And it happens normally. It's a normal cycle, but with longer summers and shorter, milder winters, the ticks aren't falling off like they should. They normally will fall off once it gets to a certain temperature. You know, you get into the dead of winter, but it's not happening because winters are shorter, and we're just not getting those extremes of cold that normally do that. And when that happens, they can literally be covered in ticks and anemic, and, you know, they're not getting a disease from the tick, but they're just literally getting the life sucked out of them, and then they'll rub against trees just out of irritation. You can imagine if you're covered in ticks, and so they'll have, you know, bare spots without fur, and you can't do that in the winter. And yeah, so that's a real, you know, that, and that's the sort of the story with moose, is it's they're being attacked by parasites because they're stressed out from a warmer climate. They do get physically stressed when it's above 55 degrees in the summer or above 25 degrees in the winter. You know, and like when we get stressed, your immune system's down and you're just susceptible to all these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've got a cabin up just north of Virginia, Minnesota, and it's a family cabin that's been in the family for 100 years. And at the cabin, they used to hunt moose up there. And my dad said the last time he saw a moose anywhere south of you know, the boundary waters was really like the 1970s. They just generally do not come down south anymore. You're right. I mean, it's not going to be too long before moose are completely gone from this state.
Yeah, I will start off a presentation with a picture of Karlstad, Minnesota, in northwestern Minnesota. And, you know, they have a big moose statue that says, the moose capital of Minnesota. Well, there are no moose left in northwestern Minnesota anymore. That population is gone. They only exist now in basically the boundary waters. And, you know, that's one of the things with climate change. Can we turn around climate enough to save moose in Minnesota? No. But what we can do is sort of mitigate things and say, okay, we know they're vulnerable to these parasites. And this is something the DNR is actually doing, is studying, okay, where do moose and deer overlap? Because that's the problem. Deer carry things that moose catch and can get sick from, but deer do not. And another thing I just learned within the last couple of years I never knew before, there were no deer in the North Shore until the 1940s.
Yeah.
You know, we made habitat for them to spread out. So moose and deer normally shouldn't be overlapping. And so that's part of the problem. And so, you know, we might have to relocate moose populations to areas that there are fewer deer, and then, you know, maybe target our deer hunting better towards, okay, hey, you really, because, you know, a lot of hunters say they hunt deer because it's partly to control the population and for environmental purposes. And so if that's truly the case, then let's have these targeted hunts. Like, hey, we really need you. And, you know, going up there are a ton of them. You go along 61 along the North Shore, it's one dead deer carcass after another. Mm. And in Minnesota, we actually clean them up. So the fact that you see that many shows that it's all within a pretty short period of time. I hit a deer once in Two Harbors in broad daylight going 20 miles an hour. The thing ran into my truck. It was, you know.
Wow.
And it's just wild to think that they're not even supposed to be there. So, you know, maybe we just somehow focus our efforts and incentivize deer hunting in those areas that are really critical to protecting moose.
My dad, born in 29, he remembers going out into the woods and seeing all the old stumps from when the loggers came through and took down the original forest. And he said the same exact thing, that there was never deer up there. It was all moose. And then the minute that they change the environment by logging down all the native woods, they basically they changed it dramatically and it became much more deer. And you're right. That's when the moose's population really started to take the hit.
You know, a lesson from history there to any of the barons of business now that kind of take advantage. You know, the lumber barons at the time said, oh, there'd be enough white pine to last for many decades.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it was about 10 years that we wiped out most of Minnesota's tall timber, and it's just, you know, it's just an atrocity.
Yes, it was. The stories of what they used to see up there are just, wow, it is what we lost. I want to talk a little bit about, we've mentioned cold weather earlier. Tomorrow is a pretty cool day. I think I saw the story up in International Falls yesterday. It was 85, and then there was some snow falling, I think it was this morning.
There were some flurries.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but that's International Falls. It's not even June yet. You know, that can happen.
Yeah, again, but it's going to get cool here.
For the record, the last trace of snow ever recorded in the Twin Cities is May 31st. So we've never seen it in the month of June.
Okay.
And I don't think we're going to. But in northwestern Minnesota or South Dakota, for example, on the backside of this rain tomorrow, that it could be just cool enough just at the end to see some snow showers. But, yeah, to get anything to accumulate will be difficult. But the rain coming tomorrow is really going to be sort of that perfect kind of rain where, you know, we get most of our rainfall in the growing season comes from thunderstorms, but it's hit and miss. And I know people have been complaining to me for 2 weeks. They're like, you talk about all these thunderstorms, we haven't gotten anything. Well, and then somebody, you know, 10 miles away gets 2 inches. This kind of rainfall tomorrow is mostly just going to be a widespread rain, very little thunder, but it's going to be that gentle, soaking, kind of cold rain in the 50s, and we have the potential for a half inch to an inch of rain, and we are still just over an inch behind for the month of May. And you might think, well, I thought the airport's gotten that. Well, they have, but as time goes on, you know, we're supposed to get more rain too. So we have to not only get the average amount of rain every single day for the month, if you take 4 inches, let's say, and divide it by 31, but you have to outdo that in order to make up the deficit. And we just haven't been able to do that quite yet. So hopefully tomorrow gets us there. Probably won't undo our deficit for the month. But, you know, we're probably also, because you and I won't talk again before June, I'm sure, we're going to end up the month of May above normal by about almost a degree, despite that cool first half. So this last week of 7 to 10 days of warm weather has been very warm. I think we just kind of thought, oh, it's summer, but it was pretty far above normal. And remarkable also was the amount of humidity. You know, we don't normally get strings of humid days yet in May. It's usually maybe one muggy day and that's it. But, you know, it lingered here for a week, save for that Lake Superior day.
Yeah. And it's going to the one thing that's going to be nice is going to be that with the rain, at least, because I was out actually, I went driving this last weekend, and you could tell some of the fields were looking a little dry. What's the swath of this rain going to be? What's the north-south range going to be on this?
Basically, the southern half of the state. I know some places, like some people in Bemidji have said they sent me a picture yesterday, almost looked like a dust storm. So there are pockets of northwestern Minnesota that have been just very dry, and unfortunately, they're not going to get much out of this event. But southern Minnesota, where we know, of course, you know, crops are already going and things like that, should be a pretty good, decent soaking. And then, you know, the weekend's not going to be bad. It's just going to be cool. I don't think we get out of the 60s Saturday. Maybe we get close to 70 Sunday. We'll have lots of sunshine Saturday. Saturday will actually be a lot like today, maybe even a degree or two warmer. So if you like this kind of cool morning, pleasant afternoon, that's going to be the weather Saturday. We should be back towards normal by Memorial Day, which is 73. And then there's indications that it could be quite hot again late next week as we kick off the first week of June.
Well, that's nice. Well, I do hope you have a wonderful Memorial Day. And I appreciate you making time for us on a Wednesday. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Sven, I'll make sure I get that video, your latest weather forecast, posted today. If you're not following Sven on YouTube, you need to. Also follow him on Twitter. Sven Sundgaard, bring me the news, as weather guy extraordinaire. Thanks, Sven. I appreciate the time. Let's take a break. We'll come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.